blood comes out in the shvira chaticha, she's not tamea. Tartish mamina. We derive two halachas from the same pasuk. This is very, very shver. I mean, the whole shas is predicated on the assumption we do not derive two halachas. The ve'idach, ve'idach, ve'idach. They're only deriving one thing from any given pasuk. What does it mean over here? Tarti shma mina. It's a problem. The Gemara goes into a whole discussion. We're not going to read the entire discussion. It goes back to haroa kesem abasara. That's the keneged beis haturfa is tmeya. The whole concept of ksamim, which we know about, is exists. How can it exist? There's no hargosha. That's the one, the very last line of Nun Zayin Amid Beis. I forgot below her gisha. Gemara says, Modesh Shmuel Shitmeya Midirabonon. So Shmuel is telling you with Din Doraisa, without Hagosha, she's not Tmeya Midiraisa. Midirabonon, she is Tmeya. That's the whole Din of Ksamim as a Din of Tumah Midirabonon. That's the Gemara says in the top of Daf Nun Ches, Omer Aleph. Rav Ashi Omer, Shmuel Hu Diomak Rav Nechemia. The Tznan. And Nechemi Omer called Dovash and Mekabel Tuma, Eino Mekabel Ksumin. Okay. That's the end of this sugya. So Rashi says, important Rashi on Daf Nun Chesam and Aleph, about Rav Ashi, the top line. Tama de Shmuel de Amaliel, Botko Karka Olam Vechule, Lav Mishum Hargosha. Get an impression from Rashi that Hargosha doesn't really exist. It exists on Afnun Zayin Amid Beis as a precondition for Nida D'Oraisa, but once you get to Afnun Chesem and Aleph, forget about it. La Mishem Argosha, Ela K'Rabbi Nechem Yisvile, D'Yom Alo Eskiru K'Chachomim Gzeiras Kesem Ela Al Dovra Mekabel Tuma, Hilko Kol Hanach Tiyuf Talav Kushininu, D'Shmuel Al Arab Argosha Klal. So the whole Amud Gemara, which we skipped, it's all eliminated, according to Rav Ashi, Lefi Shitas Rashi. Mm-hmm. There are those who say we should paskin like Rashi, that there is no longer the maskanas haGemara a need for hargosha midaraisa. According to this, if a woman sees dam without hargosha, she is nonetheless a nida d'oraisa. This could wreak havoc with some of the leniencies that we have. True, there's still going to be a leniency of ksamim, but as the Gemara will put it, that's only because it's not vadai migufa. It's not certainly coming from within. Perhaps it's coming from a bed bug, things of this nature, which the Gemara speaks about in great detail. But in today's world, where in most cases, or we'll talk about the begodim asamach leguf, was clearly coming from within, according to this understanding, there are no leniencies of ksamim. There are a few leniencies that we rely upon, such as less than a gris, or Davashena Mekabel Tuma, or Big Day Tzivonim, all these coolers are going to go by the board, they're going to be eliminated in a case where it's Vada Megufa, according to the opinion of Rashi, as it seems. And the Sidrei Tara suggests that we should really paskin this way. We should paskin this way. You know what? He says, if there is a doubt as to whether the blood is Megufa or not, then we can be lenient. And we'll see soon what the source for this leniency is. We should really see it now. It's based upon a Mishnah on Afnun Chesamid Beis. Nun Chesamid Beis is a Mishnah. Toward the end of the Mishnah, Ma'isev Isha Achas Shabos of Ner Rabbi Akiva, Omelo Reisi Kesem, Omelo Shema Mako Heisabach, Omelo Hein V'choisa, based on this possibility, it was coming from a wound, he said she was tahora. Raw Tamida Mistaklim Zebaze, Omla Madava Kosha Benechem, Shalom Omru Chachomim Adabala Achmer Lahokal Shenemar, because a different source, the Isha Kisia Zova Dom Yia Zova Bivsara, that's the opening phrase describing the Tumas Nida. So Shmuel focused on the last word of this phrase, Bivsara, Achatagash Bivsara. But Rabbi Akiva is focusing on the fifth word in the phrase, Isha Kisiyah Zava, Dam. The Xeris of Dam v'lo kesef. And dam v'lo kesef, according to Rabbi Akiva, is a din that if it's not vadai, it's mutter. Although normally we might say sfega d'oraisa l'chumra, here's an exception to the rule. As a matter of fact, the Sidre Tara in this same piece, which is on the Makoros, the Sidre Tara says that this is comparable to mamzer vadai v'lo mamzer sofek, or orla b'chutz loretz vadai v'lo sofek. So writes the Sidre Tara based on the Mishnah, presumably based on the Mishnah, on daf nun ches amud bay. So you know, Sidre Tara gave us a tremendous chum and a tremendous kula, a tremendous chumra that he says that we should follow Shitas Rashi. That Rashi seems to say in daf nun ches that we no longer require agosha as a precondition for nida d'oraisa. But at the same time, there's a tremendous kula that there's a doubt as to whether the dam came from the woman or not. So then she is a muteris mid the oraisa, and he compares it to mamzavada and mamzasafik and all the bechutz lords. So says the Sidre Tara. Rabbi Avadi Yosef, in his beautiful Sefer Taras Habayis, the very beginning in Siman Aleph, quotes the Sidre Tara and says, no, the halacha is incorrect. We paskin ledina that you have to have a hagosha as a precondition for nida d'oraisa. The only one who is willing to concede disagrees with this is the Tosfos Rid. The Tosfos Rid, right over here in this sugya, on Daf Nun Zayin Amud Beis, when he quotes this din, not the way the Rashi has it, the Gemara backed out on Daf Nun Ches, no, even at the very beginning, when he quotes the din of Shmuel, he explains, Avalim lo yergisha shiyotzim b'psara, kegon zeh shenimtza adam b'karka tahori. Why? What do you mean why? No agosha, that's why. No. The emer lo botka yofe, uv'karka havi haidame ikora. So it's a possibility, it's not megufa, since there was no hargosha. So we see therefore that the Tosfos Rid seems to deny the very existence from the beginning of any independent requirement for hargosha. Hargosha is just a simon, a way to know whether the dam came megufa or not megufa. So concedes a bavadya within Shitas HaTosfos Rid. But everybody else, he says, disagrees. We follow the rule, the other Rishonim, against the Tosfos Rid. And even Rashi, he says, does not mean to say that the Gemara backed out completely from the requirement of Hargosha. And he tries to prove this from Rashi in Masechta Baba Kama, that I put on the Makoros, the Rashi Baba Kama, Daf Lamed Ches and the Beis, the Ramaskal Mirekem. And the Lashon of Rashi is as follows. The Midoraisa Dam Yezova Bibsar Achsiv, Shetireu Migufa, Velo Shetimtzeu Bibigdo. But Vadya quotes Rashi somehow as a proof that Rashi agrees that you require Hagosh as an independent consideration. If you ask me, it's a Raya Listor. That Rashi and Baba Kama Daf Lamed Chesim say exactly the same as the Sidre Tara Sepshana Rashi and Daf Nun Chesim Mesechta Nida. That the only reason that you require Hagosh is to make sure that it's coming Migufa, as opposed to Bibigda, that it comes from her from somewhere else, not from somewhere else. It seems to me that Rashi probably does hold like the Tosfos Rid. Nonetheless, one can still say that since the overwhelming majority of Rishonim are against Rashi and the Tosfos Rid, we can still pass on the Dina against the Sidre Tara that Hargosha is in fact a precondition for Nida D'Orais. Okay? Good. Let us proceed. The Rashba, and Daf Nun Zayin Amud Beis, the Ramaskal Tarti, discusses the question that we alluded to earlier. What do you mean from one word, b'sara? B'sara is tarti shema minon. We don't usually say that. So he quotes Mori Harav, the Yumi Rabbeinu Yonah, that these two drushes are shkulo saying, v'tarvayo darshinan lehu midloksiv b'sara. Fine. V'yesh mefarshim, the below v'shvir haina mishum the ein mageshes b'tzias dam. Because when the shvir and the shilya come out, what you're feeling is not the dam itself, you're feeling the shvir and the shilya. So it's really only one din. You have to have argosha and lo b'shvir v'lo b'shilya is just a subset. And in that kind of a case, among others, there is no argosha. The hikshem ori harav zal the east v'yir lo daka shal isha liros dam b'chaticha lo mitare mishum deina mageshes. He quotes a gemara earlier. It discusses with the daka shal isha liros dam b'chaticha daf chafala from a base lo mitare mishum deina mageshes. What does that mean? What do those words mean? For the simple pshat in the words of the Moria Rav, which is Rabbeinu Yonah, which is presumably the pshat that the Rashba favors, the pshat of his Rebbe, is that Hargosha is not an independent requirement. The Yesh Mefarshim and the Ran holds that way. I'm reading from footnote 31. They hold that Hargosha is an independent requirement. However, according to the Rashba, you get an impression, Rabbeinu Yonah, no, Mesha Ein Derech Re'iya Bekach. The nature of the Din of Hargosha is Ein Derech Re'iya Bekach. Now we understand very well why Lo B'Shvir V'Lo B'Chaticha is Shkulo saying. Here it's not Derech Re'iya Bekach, and there it's not Derech Re'iya Bekach. What B'Sara is simply telling you is that the Din Nida D'Raisa only applies if it is, in fact, Derech Re'iya Bekach. Here in the footnote is a remarkable parenthetical comment. He is assuming, we'll see where he gets it from, that the Hargosha, which is described in the Gemara, refers to Psichas Hamoka. He says, nowadays women don't no longer feel it. What he's trying to say is, why are women Tumeos Midoraisa Bizmanenu if they don't have the requisite Hargosha, which is Psichas Pi Hamokar? Now the source for this din of Psichas Pi Hamokar, everyone knows it from the Shulchan Aruch, from the Trumas Hadeshen, but it really goes back to the Tosfos. Tosfos on Avdalim and Aleph says that the definition of Hargosha is Kshadam Yotze Niftach V'hoya Lo Lahargish. So the Trumas Hadeshen, as usual, follows in the footsteps of the Baal HaTosfos, and he spells out explicitly what Tosfos alludes to over here, that the definition of Hargosha is a woman feels Niftach Pi Mekorva. Says the footnote, today women don't feel that any longer, so what should it then be? If there's an independent requirement for Hargosha, with no explanation, Xeris HaKosuf, then it would emerge, he's implying, that women today are not needed Midaraisa, because they don't have this precondition of Psichas Pi Hamokar. However, if one assumes that Hargosha is not as Xeris HaKosuf Ba'alma, but rather is another way of saying Derech Riyasa Bekach, then today that women don't no longer experience this Hargosha, so in Tovshin Samach Tes, the Derech Riya is without Hargosha of Psichas Pi Hamokar, and there would be a din of nida the oraisa. It's presumably the intention of this footnote 31 on the Rashba. Okay. Now the truth is, you find yes.
Rebbe is saying that hargasha means you need the akriya.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you explain things like zaka or pizza or that we say that. Even it isn't the whole idea that the nidas matami bein bonus bein baratzon mean that even though it's abnormal or like
no, you are interpreting derech re'iya to mean her normal hormonal pattern. That's not what I mean. I mean derech re'iya means the normal way that the blood flows from her body. In time of the Gemara, when the blood flowed from her body in a typical, let's say, we'll just use the word a monthly period, she felt hagoshas pi hamokar. Psichas pi hamokar. If she didn't feel that, it was not needed d'oraisa. Today, the women month in and month out do not feel hagoshas psichas pi hamokar. So there's a new derech. The derech is the monthly period comes without hagoshas psichas pi hamokar. That's called derech riyasa bekach, and that is a needed d'oraisa. That's what he seems to be.
Isn't also
onus
not the derech?
No. If a woman will jump, so when she'll jump around, whatever else she'll do, so that will simulate within her body a situation which will lead to a Rias Dam, and the nature of the Rias Dam objectively examined will be very similar to the Rias Dam that she might have felt in the absence of her jumping a week later and a different time of the month. That's what I'm suggesting. Now, I want to say there are certain rumblings that really there may be not any din of nida d'oraisa bizmanenu for most women. There are rumblings. If you look, no one's going to go up and really say it. I think if you look in, for example, if you look in Rabbi Eider's Sefer, Zichrono Levracha, the beautiful Sefer on Hilchos Nida, which was a classic, you know, when it came out, it was one of the most used svarim. In the decades that have passed since it came out, there have been many new svarim. But when it came out, it was very, very important. It's important now too, but it was even more important then. If you look in page Yud Dalet of his Sefer, he discusses the possibility there, at least in that maybe, I think it's a question to Rav Moshe there, that maybe there shouldn't be any need of deraisa bizman hazeh. And, remarkably, if you look in the Sefer Bari HaShulchan, that's known as the most machmer Sefer on Hilchos Nida, if you look in Simon Kuf Tzadi, Sivkotten, and Tziyunim Tov Shin Kof Ches, it's not an accident, Tishkach, forget about it. But in that Tishkach, he tells you that maybe there should be no din of Nida, and he sort of says it, should be no din of Nida deraisa because there's no argosha bizman hazeh. There are certain rumblings. However, there are, in order to go further, we have to first understand that this concept of Hagoshas Psichas Pi HaMokor, although it is found in the Trumas Hadeshen, it is found in Tosfos, and it's found in the Shulchan Aruch twice, that this may be the Hagosha, which is considered the official Hagosha. And though the two places it's found is in Simon Kuf Tzadi, Sif Aleph, Imir Gisha Sheniftach Makor Lahotzi Dam, and she didn't find anything. That's a famous Trumas Hadeshen. You have to worry about it because she experienced a Hagosha, which he calls it the Svara D'Oraisa. That's in Simon Kuf Tzadi, Sif Aleph, and earlier in Kuf Peches, Sif Aleph. Also, it says that Afil Hirgisha Sheniftach Makoro Botka Miyada Matsamaras Halolo Tahor, once again implying that's the definition of Hagosha on the level of Doraisa. That and only that. Nonetheless, that is not necessarily the case. In the opening Pischei Tshuva in Hilchos Nida, Simen Kuf Pe Gimel Siv Katan Aleph, he quotes from the Noda Yehuda, who has a new thing. Shemargesha Shedover Lach Zav Mimena Bifnim. No, the Behuda Kama Simen Nunhei. And the Chavos Das discusses it at some length. I ask you to look on the Chavos Das. Simen Kuf Tzadi at the very beginning in Sivkot and Aleph. Yes, it's true the Chasam Sova disagrees. It's not true. And he's Mekel HaLocha L'Maises, Kabbalah from Rav Nosson Adler. But the No, the Behuda does say that Zivas Dovalach, the experience that she feels something wet flowing, constitutes Hargosha. Of course, the question becomes, where must she feel this? Where must she feel this? The Chavos Das, in that same piece, in Simen Kuf Tzadi Sukkot, now says, you know where she has to feel it? She has to feel this sensation at the exact moment that she could potentially become a Nida D'Oraisa. And the Gemara says in Masechta Nida that when is that? We mentioned it a few minutes ago. When the dam goes from the bayis hapanimi into the bayis achitzan, we saw it based on the Gemara Nafna Zayin. Bivsara that she's metami bivnim kibachutz. It's all the way up there somewhere. It's a question exactly where that line is. Shlomo Zalman has a whole this long discussion about it for the famous tube that he wanted to utilize to avoid what we call orthodox infertility. That's not our discussion for now. But part of that discussion was where is that line? Wherever it is, it's pretty far in. So the Chavos Das says the only time that it's possible that Zivas Davalach will constitute a Hargosha based on the Pasuk of Bivsara, Shetagash Bivsara, is if she feels it all the way in. The problem is that this is physically impossible. It's physically impossible. The women say it's impossible. And if you look at the Noda Yehuda, in that Shuva on the bottom, he has a ghost from Rav Baruch Frankel, and he says it's impossible. Cannot be. So therefore, you're left with, if you hold from Zivas Tavalach, the Lemaisa, you're left with two choices. He either to say that it suffices to experience his Ibas Tavalach further out, which is against the Chavaz Das's version of the Noda B'Yehuda, or to say that, well, just deny it. Say the women do feel it further in. That's what Rav Moshe says. Even though they say they don't, they really do. Come back to that in some different context soon. And on that basis, he wants to suggest that we should be choshesh v'zivas tavalach v'fnim, even though the women today say that they just don't feel it. It's interesting, in the Maharam Shik, as a tshuva in Yerodea, Simon Kuf Pei Dalit, where he says, b'psara, ad shetargish b'psara, means, targish future tense, she will feel the dam, what's called the prosdor, after it went into the Beis Achitzon, and when the dam crossed that magic line between the Beis HaPnimi and Beis Achitzon, and at that point in time you can't feel anything, it's too far in, it says mitla toli v'koi, suspended animation. Will there be argosha subsequently, or will there not be? If there will be, she'll be Tmeya d'Oraisa. If there will not be, she will not be Tmeya d'Oraisa. That being the case, if she feels Zivas Tavalach further out in what's called the prosdor, it would lead to a Tumah d'Oraisa against the Chavaz Das. The problem with that, this is a question that the Sidrei Tara asks, that he asks you to see, in Simon Kuf Tzadi, Sif Koton Aleph, is it against the Gemara? Why is it against the Gemara? Because the Gemara says over here in Masech Tanita, Daf Nun Zayin Amud Beis, in a case of Hitila Meraglayim, a woman urinated, and the question was, Ida Argasha, Ida Lo Argasha. What do you mean, Ida Argasha, Ida Lo Argasha? She urinated, she obviously felt the Zivas Tavalach Mibachutz, and if that suffices to constitute Argasha, what do you mean, she Hitila Meraglayim Velo Argasha? It's an impossibility. That's a question of the Sidrei Tara against this whole Mahalach. I don't think it's Akasha, because one has to just study a little bit of anatomy, a little bit of biology, to understand what it's all about. The Chavaz Das said, if you want to consider Zivas Tavalach, it has to be so far up and within the woman's body, where that magic line between Bayis HaPnimi and Bayis HaChitzon. Some suggest that's what they call the cervix, some say it's a little bit beyond the cervix, but it's pretty far in, the higher part certainly of what's called the vaginal canal. Sidrei Tara understood that those who disagree and say it's sufficient to have a zivas tavalach mibachutz, they mean anywhere mibachutz, anywhere in the woman's body till the very, very outside. So then he has this impossibility to say that she was hitila meraglayim and lo regisha. That's an impossibility. But I believe the truth is that one can draw a distinction and say that the prosdor, as it's halachically defined, the vaginal canal itself, that would have to have a hargosha in order for it to be considered hargosha d'oraisa. However, study the anatomy, we'll see that the urethra, the area through which the meraglayim exits the woman's body, not only is that very far from the cervical area, but it's even beyond what we call the prosdor. So therefore it's even further out. Here's the answer. The Neka Meraglayim is so far out, not only is it past the Chavaz Das's line, but it's even past the line of the other Achronim who says, which is the Maram Shik, that if she feels it in the prosdor, it's good enough. It's beyond the prosdor. It's all the way out. And therefore, this is how we can answer the question of the Sidrei Tara. Fine. So now we have, just to review, so far, a number of ways to say that a woman is a nida d'oraisa bezmanenu. One, to assume you don't need hargosha, Sidrei Tara. Two, to assume that derech riyosa, which we will have to define more precisely, is the equivalent of hargosha. And three, to say, no, women have hargosha. They have hargosha zivas d'avolach. And even though those who claim that they have it all the way b'mokom besa pnimi to besa chitzon seems to be against the facts, nonetheless, there were those who claim it's enough to feel it even when in the prosdor, which women in fact can feel. Maybe that's enough to create a nida d'oraisa, even though that gosha happened after the dam came out from the magical line of separating the Bayis HaPnibi and the Bayis HaChitz. Fine. The Maram Shik himself in the same tshuva raises yet a fourth possibility, which is that the Hargosha should come is not after the magical moment when the Dam exits from the Bayis HaPnibi Bayis HaChitz, but rather before. A Hargosha can exist before the Dam comes out. That being the case, it's very possible that some of the sensations that women typically feel today would fall under the category of Hargosha. He gives a few examples. A woman is yawning, she has headaches, she has stomach aches. All of those things, of course, exist today. The Maram Shik suggests it. It's also found in the Tzemach Tzedek, in his Tshuvas on Yeridea. Even the Sidrei Tara, in a parenthetical comment, seems to suggest this possibility. Now, the vast majority of poskim say, no. These phenomena have a different name. The name for these phenomena is what? Veses Haguf. These are precursors of the period. And a woman feels these Hargoshos, it's considered she's B'shas Vesta, she's Asura B'tashmish, but not that these very headaches, stomach aches, back aches, things of this nature, should themselves be considered Hargosha. These sensations are usually much too early. They come before the blood exits from that magical line. Okay, so at first glance, the Shulchan Aruch is in accordance with this point of view, that the Hargosha should take place at the very moment when the Dam leaves the body, and not an hour or a day before, as some of these sensations take place in real life. The Lashon of the Shulchan Aruch here in Simen Kuv Tzadi, where he's discussing the question of whether there is a Hargosha or there is not a Hargosha. The Shulchan Aruch explains, Ad Shetargish, it's not considered to be real, I'll read it to you. Dvar Torah and Aisha Metama Velo Asura Lebaila, Ad Shetargish, Sheyotza Dami Besara. You want to vocalize the Sheyete Dami Besara? Fine. Either way, it means that the Hargosha takes place at the moment that the Dam is exiting her body, and not the what we call the Vesto Saguf, which is our experience is typically earlier. Okay? So at first glance, there is just nothing to talk about. You can't accept the Shi'i because it's against the Shulchan Aruch. If you look in the back, in the Imre Baruch, in some Shulchan Aruch, it's on the bottom, he says it's true, is what the Shulchan Aruch says. However, if you look on the Rambam, he has a different phraseology. And this could be very critical. The Rambam, in Perek Hei, in Isuri Bia, Halacha Yud Zayin, writes, Perakei Halacha Yud Zayin, Ha'isha Shishtina Mayim, V'yotza Dama Meraglayim, Ben Shishtina V'yomedes, Ben Shishtina V'yosheves, it's a whole sugar later on, Harezu Tahoru. Vafilu Hirgish Gufa, V'nizdaza Einacho Sheshes. This, we should go, before we go any further, is the second Hargosha found in the Pisrei Tshuva. His first is Niftach Pi Amoka, which comes from the Shulchan Aruch. His second is his Hirgish Gufa V'nizdaza, which comes from the Rambam. And the third controversial one is the Zivas Dover Lach. Continues the Rambam. Shargoshas Meiraglayim Hizu. Okay? What is the Rambam saying? Nizdaza Gufa is considered Hargosha. Maybe this Hirgisha V'nizdaza Gufa took place earlier. As a matter of fact, if one looks in Perek Tes Halacha Aleph, the Rambam has a phrase which is somewhat different than the Shulchan Aruch. This is what the Imre Baruch points out. Ein ha'isha mistama min ha'Torah benida o'beziva acha targish v'tire dam v'yetzei b'vsara. It's different than the Shulchan Aruch. From the Rambam's expression, it's very possible targish comes first and then she'll tire dam v'yetzei b'vsara. She'll see the blood, it goes out of her body. Kimosha Biarnu, Rav Prani is making reference to something earlier where you get an impression, according to the Rambam, the Hagosha may in fact precede the exact moment when the dam leaves her body. It's against the Shulchan Aruch. And therefore, maybe, arguably, what the Rambam is referring to are exactly the same phenomena that Maram Shik and the Tzemach Tzedek and others, Siretar even suggested, referring to the various aches and pains that accompany Nida, what we call Vesas Aguf. Maybe that itself is what the Rambam is referring to. As a matter of fact, the Lashon of the Rambam in Perek Ches, Halacha Aleph, is, talking about various vestos, yesh isha she'en levest, ala lo targesh bi'atzma, at she'yetze adam. Right? But there are those who have yesh levestes. What does that mean? She will be targesh bi'atzma, at she'yetze adam. It implies again, that perhaps the hargosha precedes. Of course, the question becomes, and the Aruch HaShulchan is quite adamant in rejecting this view, rejecting the view, and most posts can reject this view, that a hargosha which takes place earlier can be considered a halachically, how should we say, approved hargosha to make a nida d'oraisa. V'ri'isi mishnah b'pirush kavanas Rambam, that the hargosha is the what we call the vestas aguf. He calls the pilus rimonim who said so. Mefahekes misateshes v'lo nearly klal the imkain pshita. The Gmondon Zainim and Bey is Dilma Argosha. She can confuse the Hargosha's Dam with Hargosha of Meraglayim or Eid Bedika or Aver of Tashmish. But according to this Pshat in the Rambam, this Hargosha comes much earlier. So how can there be confusion? On this basis, he rejects Shita's Pardes, what he calls a Pardes Rimonin. And he asks from that same Rambam Perikhes Halacha Aleph, that is, the woman of Ein Lo Veses Aguf, Lo Targish Biatzma Sheyetze Adam, what do you mean? Why aren't we afraid that he is Dazei Agufa? This is what he rejects. It seems to me that these questions are not really questions. Because there could be more than one type of Hargosha. There could be a Hirgish Vinizdaz Agufa, which can include both. It can include the types of vestas aguf that some of these mefarshim say pshat on the Rambam, such as Paradis Rimonis and pshat on Rambam, and the Tzemach Tzedek and the Maram Shik say it on their own. But it can also include sensations which can take place at the very moment that the dam comes out. And those latter sensations can be confused or masked by Eid Bedika, Meraglayim, or Tashmish. As the Gemara has enough to Zion and Beis. I don't think these questions are absolutely proof that this interpretation within the Rambam is incorrect. He's just mechadesh. There could be perhaps a different kind of a hargosha. As a matter of fact, if you look on the Rambam in Perek Ches Halacha Beis, v'kodem sheyavo hadam targish biatzma. He uses the word targish. Now, you can say, well, it's just a word. But the Rambam is Medayik. He could have found another word. You don't have to use the word Targish. So the word Targish, at least for us, as soon as the connotation, it's the Hargosha she'oleh dibru chazal. Not that the doctors or the yentas are talking about Targish. So if that's the case, it might be, in fact, a proof to this opinion, at least within Shita Saramba. What does it mean, Kemosha Beyarnu? So we got started. What the Rambam said, in Perek Tes, Halacha Aleph, Kemo Shebiyarnu. So some say it as reference to the Rambam in earlier, is what the Mekevas, the Mishnah says, in Perek He, Halacha Tes Zayin, Aisha Shechnisa Shvoferes Beprozdod, Verosa Dam Betocha Shvoferes Tahora, Shenema Damiya Zelva Bepsara, Shetira Bepsara, Kiderech Shehanoshim Roos, Viendera Aisha Liros Beshvoferes. This might be what he says, Kemosha Biyarnu, that there has to be a Hargosha. Interestingly, this language implies what we said before within the Rashba, that it's the whole idea of Hargosha is not an independent requirement, but Achetira Bivsara Kiderech Shanashim Ros, Vein Derech Aisha Leros Bishvel Feres, as we said before, that Hargosha is simply another way of saying not derech riyasa, which fits in with the Rashba and the Rabbeinu Yonah and Afnun Zion, and fits in with the Rambam according to the Mekeves HaMishnah. When he says his famous halacha, Tes Aleph, he first introduces us the din of Hargosha. He says, Kamosha Biyarnu. If it means, Hey Tes Zion, there he said, Hey Derech Yishalos Bishvil Feres. So if these two are identical, that implies that the whole din of Hargosha means Derech Riyasa Bekach. That's only a possibility. That will be Tart Yishma Mina, as we said earlier. That would be a very big Kiddush. There could be, however, nonetheless, two kinds of hargoshas, right? Two kinds of hargosha. It could be derech riyasa, when you feel in advance, again, if the Paras Rimonim is correct, or derech riyasa, when you feel when the blood is coming out. Maybe the Rashba might agree. Who knows? So this Maram Shik, which is rejected out of hand by so many of the Gedolei HaPoskim, it's against the Shulchan Aruch, I concede. But it may be Pshat within the Rambam, maybe even within the Rashba. But the Aruch HaShulchan, as I said before, forcefully rejects this. And he says, let's go back to basics. Basics in anatomy, basics in reality, as he puts it. He says, Hargosha is very lo niflesi lo rechokahi. It's a very simple concept. Not esoteric at all. Yes, Matan. No, that's fine. But the Rambam, when he introduces Hargosha as a din bifnei atzmo, references back to Kamosha Biyarnu.
Right.
So that's not anything more than Chafal for
sure. Right. But is there any? But you don't. Right. I'm saying there's no indication it could be referring to hey.
It could be.
Also.
Could be. It's possible. We don't know. Rambam says Kamosha Biyarnu. He never told us on the bottom what he meant.
The end of that Rambam sounds like this, because he says Kamosha Biyarnu again. Wow. And there it's clearly a reference to the beginning, to Hey. There he says that it should be the that we assume that the blood is from earlier and not later.
Correct. I'm not sure that both Kamosha Biyarnu are referring to the same exact halacha. Not necessarily. Whatever. It's a machlok before Shir Rambam. I'm not here to be machriya at all. In any event, the Aruch HaShulchan, it says very simply. It says we have it all wrong. He says like this, Umau inyan argosha. There's a whole discussion, psichos kia mokor, etc., etc. It's like this: kshadam holach mimena behelam yediyasa. It's called below argosha. V'argosha mikik shebechrech shadam yodea mizeh. Come on, he's trying to. He's speaking. He's writing to men. How do you write for men? What a argosha of a woman is like. Al tonas chavecha shetagil l'mkomo. So it's impossible for us to even have a clue what's going on. Look what he writes. Kimo hashtonas mei raglayim. This applies to men and women equally. She'odam k'shamashtin margish begufo eich shamei raglayim yotzim. And therefore the Gemara says, kisvura argoshas mei raglayim. What does it mean? The guf margish basiyas kolela. And he says, argosha means yediyah, knowledge. Whoa, wow. It's like a Mar Megillips. Unbelievable. Ma rosa esta shezimnas haman ula yargish hamokam v'yas alanu neis. Wow. Unbelievable. The Medrash says, man, the rogish, this is wild to quote these kinds of sources to prove that Agosha means that, means Yediyah in these kinds of cases. The truth is that he quotes the Tshuva in Nun Zayin. In Samach Aleph, he has the Shev Yaakov asked the Noshim Bekiyas. And there are women who don't feel anything, they feel nothing, says Aruch HaShulchan. Vehevel yivtze pi hanoshim ha'ela v'lo yadi mai ka'amri. This is not politically correct. He says that the women don't know what they're talking about. When they say there's no Hargosha, they're absolutely incorrect. We believe the Rabbanim, we don't believe the women. Rabbanim were men, but we believe them and not the women. Exactly. They're not lying to women, not they're lying to themselves. Ella she'enem mevinas. They don't understand. And he proves it. Dr. Aruch HaShulchan. V'da, d'chol d'var mosoro she'beguf, she'guf tzorach l'tchosa, hitbiya kodesh baruch u'beteva ha'guf, she'kshiyagi hazman d'chifas ha'nuchut, she'yiftuchu oz nikvaya pleita, she'ad ko ayu stumin, u'l'tzorach d'chiyas ha'mosoros nispatchu v'yotzen l'chut, k'mo yitzil l'gdolim v'l'ktanim, v'tzoas ha'chotem, u'b'isha nitosat gam adam me'amokal l'tchivas ha'mosoros, Zesha shas medamla goshes meirag laim. Esha smuchim zel azer. Vechazer kain zer. Vezel bechreach shi posach hamakar. Diyev sheklal biofan acher. Uvishas apsicha yesha gosha vektas tsar. Atshe mipnei zer. Gam yokitz mishnoso. Kedivir abosein uzal. Aha! Proof positive. Last line. Obviously if she wakes up, so she must be feeling something. I have only one question, which I wish I could ask the Aruch HaShulchan. Aruch HaShulchan, did you ask the Rebbetzin? Rebbetzin, what to ask the Rebbetzin? Ask the Rebbetzin, well, I'm sure in the many, many years and decades of marriage, it must have happened more than one occasion, that she went to sleep at night, she was completely clean, and she woke up in the morning, and she was filled with dam. And ask her, push it, did you wake up in the middle of the night or not? So I did a question, I did a survey to find out this issue, spoke to many women about it, and there was a unanimous vote, just about unanimous vote. They said, no. So, Mimokam Shebasa, the Aruch HaShulchan is proving his point, because obviously the women wake up in the middle of the night, this proves that the Rabbanim are right and the women are wrong. What if they factually don't wake up? You know, if you want it, you don't trust me, you can put on those things they have, you know, those... People are sleep deprived. They put those little nodes on their head to see where they were, their brain waves in the middle of the night. Mm-hmm. And if she'll sleep straight through the night, as the graph will prove, and she wakes up and needs it in the morning, so there you go. But against the Gemara, upper cursing. Against the Gemara. The Gemara says they wake up in the middle of the night. They have the chutzpah not to wake up in the middle of the night when the period comes in the middle of the night. What can I do? Seems to be nishtana watzvoyim. I don't see another way out. So therefore, just to summarize so far, we have five ways to explain why women are nidas d'oraisa nowadays. One, the Sidrei Tara, you don't need argosha, based upon Tosus Rid and perhaps Rashi. The Rashba, derech nashim, which we have to define. No, the Behuda, zivas d'avalach, we have to say, it means even a little bit further out. The Maram Shik and Tzemach Tzedek and others, Parash Roman, we call the Rambam, that is referring to the aches and pains which we call Veses Haguf, and the Aruch HaShulchan, there really is a Psichas Pi HaMokor. They just they don't know what they're talking about. Those are the five ways out. But are any of these lahalach? Let's just try pick them off one by one. The Shulchan Aruch is clear against the Sidrei Tara. It requires Hagosh. It's a Beferish and Mechab. It requires Hagosh. Quite clear, as we said before, that Mechaber is against the Maram Shik. He requires Hargosh at the time that the Dam is coming out. Zivas Dabalach, alright, that's an old Machlokas HaPoskin. Chasam Sofer, that says this is Mesorah, is to disregard it completely. The Aruch HaShulchan, what can I say? It's against the Metzius. So it leaves you, if you reject this Zivas Dabalach concept, it leaves you with only one left standing. That is the what we quoted from the footnote on the Rashba, that Hagosha means Derech Re'iya Bekach. Again, in second place, if you will, is Zivas Davalach, because there are poskim who say that Zivas Davalach, in fact, does count. Rav Moshe seems to hold that way. And based on this, Rav Moshe said that if there is a significant amount of Dam, even if she herself didn't feel any kind of a hagoshes divas davalach, we have to assume that she, along the lines of the Aruch HaShulchan, she missed it somehow or other. But there was a divas davalach if a significant amount came out. And I saw this, someone gave me a copy of a Hilchas Nida L'Harosh with some commentary on it. The commentary is called Zer Dovid. I never saw the original, or so just a Xerox. Shamati b'shem b'gris Moshe v'aripolski zmanenu t'bizman sheyotza shef adam b'mes chayshinen shezeu vesta v'shabo v'hagosha. And there's no heter b'gdik zivonim or mekabel tuma. What does that mean? I have to assume Moshe l'shitoso that his concern was Yivas Davalach. And if you have a shef adam, even if she didn't experience Yivas Davalach, he's worried that maybe it really happened. Yes, sir?
Why couldn't you just say that maybe there was a Zivas Pia Makor? If she missed the Zivas Davalach, then she could have also missed the Zivas Pia Makor when there's a shef adam.
That certainly is a possibility. However, the fact that there seems to be unanimity among today's women, or certainly near unanimity, that they don't ever in their life experience a Zivas Pia Makor. So either you say what the Aruch HaShulchan one extreme, that they don't know what they're talking about, and they did feel it, they just didn't know they feel it, they felt it, or they don't feel it. I don't think that Ramayisha was going with that Mahalach. Again, it's only Mipi HaShmur. Okay. So now I have to discuss what I think is the main sheet of the Halacha, which sheet is what I call the Rajba, Rabbeinu Yonah, that sheet, maybe even the Rambam. But again, the Rambam may extend it to Vesa Saguf, and the Shulchan Aruch rejects Vesa Saguf. But maybe an issue of Derech Riyasa Bekach. So, what exactly is Derech Riyasa Bekach? How do you define it? So, I would like to take a page from this very sefer, but say it in my own way. Yes, sir.
If the problem with the Rosh Hashanah meeting in the CS was that you don't wake up, women don't wake up from Tidus Avalach either.
If a woman urinates in the middle of the night, she wakes up.
Right now, but from meaning they'll see blood in the night, and wouldn't that be made?
Good. To me, if you ask me, that's proof positive that Zivas Davalach doesn't count. That's maybe one of the rites of the Chacham Sofer. How can you tell me that Zivas Davalach is a Hargosha? Again, even Bachutz, sure, when the woman was sleeping, had she been awake, we assume she would have felt it. But she didn't feel it, and she didn't wake up. But the Gemara says in Daf Gimel that if she has the Hargosha that the Torah talks about, she does wake up. Okay, so what exactly is this type of Ria Bizmanenu Derech Riyasa Bekach? So I want to say, Shef Adam. That's exactly what was said over here in this Sefer, that a Shef Adam is indeed a Derech Riyasa Bizmanenu. Yes?
So why would it be Bizman HaGemar even if she had in her Gasha that she would be Tameo with the Tivas Dan Kachardal? Because presumably that isn't Derech Riyah either, even if there was.
Very good question. I want to talk about that. Very good question. So the definition, the precise definition of Hargoshas, that Shef Adam is the Derech Riyasa Bekach, is somewhat elusive. But let me be balabatish and say that most women have what we call a monthly period. And in the monthly period, there is a Shef Adam. There is a time when what they sometimes call heavy days, when the blood is coming out in significant amounts. And that sensation and that reality that the blood is coming out in such significant amounts, this is what we consider to be the Hargosha Bizmanenu. Because Derech Riyasa Bekach. This is how typical women see. So therefore, that's considered to be Derech Riyasa Bekach. You'll ask me, so why is it the Gemara says over here, on the Afnun Zayinim and Beis, that maybe if she did an internal examination of Bedika, that she's a needed Oraisa, the Poshet Tzavach Machlokas, what the Gemara means, that she Argosh or Lo Argosh, it's not so clear which way it is. Well, I can argue with you and say, all the Gemara meant was she did feel down, and it's a Kula. Maybe she fell down, but wasn't really down, it was only the Abedika. But there are poskim who go the other way. We're not going into that, that's a very complex sugya, not for this minute. According to those who go the other way, and that's how the poskim assume nowadays, that they all talk about a Abedika as being a chashash argosh, a chashash daraisa, they talk that kind of lashon. So why? The answer I think is very simple. Because in Bishonim Kadmonios, there was a hargosha psichas piyamok. I'm not arguing with Tosfos. Who am I to argue with Tosfos? Tosfos Beferish, there was Argoshas Psichas Piyamach. I'm not with the Mechaber. The Mechaber said so, Tosfos says so, Chumash Hadeshin says so. Even the Rambam's Ziazua Aguf is something along those lines. And those types of sensations could be confused with Eid, Meraglayim, or Tashmish. And therefore, Bizmanam, when those were the sensations which were derech riyasa bekach. And in the absence of those sensations, there was no din of nida d'oraisa. In the presence of those sensations, there was din of nida d'oraisa. So therefore, it's arguable that that was the critical criterion. And therefore, if a woman did an ei bedika and she had that sensation, that a psichas piyamok or ziyazua aguf, or something which masks either of those, that would be considered to be a nida d'oraisa. You ask me, what up is manazeh? According to my analysis, I know it's a chiddush nifla admaot, and probably everybody would be, B'nai Brak, they wouldn't be happy with this, but according to what I'm saying now, the possibility exists, I know it's a bit radical, that bizman hazeh, if we are correct, that bizman hazeh, the hargosha that we have today is what we call the derech riyosa bekach, which is the shef adam, it's possible that if a woman will insert an eid bedika and will find a tipas dam kachardol, that is not going to be an iser de oraisa. There's no chash de oraisa for the absence of hargosha. If you look carefully in the Sidrei Tara and the Beis Meir, they almost say it. They almost say it. That's what it means. That they were machbir shafil leroa tipas dam kachardol yosheva shivinakim. Means even because even though there's no hargosha. So I'm not the first person to make such a suggestion. You look in Beis Meir Kuf Pei Ches and Sidrei Tara, I think in Kuf Pei Gimel or Kuf Tzadi, you'll see references to that chiddush. I'm suggesting it. I'm not saying it for sure. I'm suggesting it. It'll be awesome by the Rabbanon. That's for sure. It'll be awesome by the Rabbanon. What if a woman says, Bori li shelo hirgashti? For sure I felt nothing. So most poskim assume that she's awesome by the Rabbanon. Anyway, Rabbi Vadya in his Taras Abayis, the beginning of the Sefer, page Yud Ches and beyond that, suggests maybe she's in fact mutter. But even those who say it's awesome will say, and that's how I believe, it's a kind of a davar shebeminyan. Bismana Gemara, it's clear that she did a bedika with an aid and she saw Dam that she is Asura. Then perhaps she was Asura because of a Chashash d'oraisa. But in any event, the Chazal instituted that this din exists in any and all cases. And maybe it exists today, even though the reason for the original enactment no longer exists. Moshel Lamor Hadavadom, which only is a Moshel, is a famous Chasam Sofer. The Chasam Sofer says that he thinks that the Iser of a Kesem Bizman Hazeh really shouldn't apply. And the Sefer Eshkol writes that according to the Rif, there's no such thing as an Iser Kesem. Because the whole Iser of Kesem is only because of Taros. Because it would be a Chuchot Tlula to say that the garment is Tomei and the woman is Torah. But Bizmanenu, we no longer have laws of Tumah V'Tara. The Rif left it out. Denied it completely. The Chasam Sofer says, you know, that's correct, but it's not correct. It's correct in principle, but it's incorrect in reality, because all the other posts can quote Ksamim, and the reason for the quotation of Ksamim is because it's a Dabar Shebeminyan, and we have no right to say it no longer applies. There could be tremendous coolness. That's what the Chasam Sofer says. We don't have bed bugs nowadays, so we should say there's no cool of Ksamim. No! You want to go with logic? There should be no Ksamim at all. The only reason we have Ksamim is because of what happened then. So then they had bed bugs, so we don't have to be more chamachma than they are. Or similarly, the post can talk about if it's not on white, it's on a different color. So what's the idea of white and a different color? So the Mefarshim explained, if it's not on a white color, it can't be mafkin bein dam ledam, between this kind of a red and that kind of a red. But today we no longer mafkin bein dam ledam. We ask for all reds. So what's the difference if it's on a yellow garment or a light blue garment? Says the Chasam Sofer or others. You're right. But if you want to go with logic, there should be no ksamim. We no longer have many more machmer than they were machmer. So al derech zeh we can suggest with respect to an eid bedika. Logically, really, there should be no iser because it's not no chashash d'oraisa. But nonetheless, it's a davar shebeminyan. Davar shebeminyan. Indeed, the pasuk of Yeshayahu, which is relevant according to our discussion, when must there be a hargosha? Is it sufficient to have a hargosha at the very beginning of the period? Or must you have a hargosha every single time the blood comes out in order to consider it to be nida d'oraisa? Minig Yisrael is to be Mekil in the Shaila, because we are Mekil, for example, in Ksamim during the Shiva Nikim, as is quoted in Siman Kuf Tzadi Vav. And our heter of Ksamim, presumably, is based upon the absence of Hargosha. Again, we that follow the opinion that says that even if it's on undergarments, there's no coming any bedbugs, we still make it on Ksamim. because of lack of hargasha. Wait a minute, what kind of a lack of hargasha? We're holding in the middle of the Shiva Nikiyim, and she had hargasha last week. So the answer is no. La halacha we paskin that you have to have a hargasha then. Not enough that I had a hargasha last week. By the way, our psak is also against the Chavas Das and the Sidrei Tara. They discuss the possibility that in Shiva Nikiyim, Dam is Soser B'li Hargosha. That's why you need a Bedika. We need a Bedika for it. Just think of no Hargosha. So that some suggest, between the Chavas Das and Sidrei Tara, one suggests that Dam B'li Hargosha is Soser the entirety of the Shiva Nikiyim. And the other suggests that Dam B'li Hargosha is Soser at least that one day, Soser Yomo, within Shiva Nikiyim. But our minig is not that way, because we are Mekel in Ksamim within the Shiva Nikiyim. Okay. After I thought about this whole parsha, it was brought to my attention that in the sefer called the Kovetz Tshuvos for Rabbi Yashiv Shalita, in Chelek Aleph Simen Pei Dalet, he quotes the Tzofnas Paneach, the Ragachava. The Ragachava quotes the Rambam, Perek Dalet, Halacha Aleph, talks about the very beginning of Nida, where it says, Afilu hoysa ktana bat shalosh shana v'yomechad, is the din of Nida d'oraisa. What do you mean Nida d'oraisa? She's not a bas bia. Well, the answer is, she saw the dam when she is bas yomechad, and she never went to the mikvah, and she's now 3 years old, is the din of Nida d'oraisa. Maybe on the dam itself was even before, it's talking about the dam, I'm talking about the woman. Okay, so says the Tzofnas Paneach on this Rambam, what do you see from here? You don't need hargasha. It's a drop of blood. Don't need hargasha. Says the Tzofnas Paneach, quote, Rakim eino margeshes oz havereyasa, avalam lo shaycha bargasha lo ichpaslan. There's no positive requirement for hargasha. If there's no hargasha, that's areyasa. What does that mean? So Rabbi Yoshev writes, putting this Ragachav and Rambam together with the Gemara and Zayin that we started with, quote, Akochach de'ein atumah toli b'argosha, ala lehepech, im lo hirgisha kidarka, zesiba shehi tahora. What does that mean? That's a very subjective kidarka. That means for kidarka of a mature woman who has started having irregular periods, kidarka, let's say we call Shef Adam, we'll see Rabbi Yoshev's own opinion momentarily, but for a one-day-old, kedarka is a few drops. I spoke to my neonatologist who told me amazingly that up to 10% of girls on the day of their birth have a tipas dam, and it comes from hormonal imbalances, not a fluke, and it's a dinita d'oraisa. That's a new derech riosa for one-day-olds. So this will have to come to a little bit later. Maybe the different standards for different kinds of people. Let's see. So now comes Rabbi Yoshev and asks the obvious question. If that's the case, Rabbeinu Shel Olam, how do we have any leniencies of Ksamim Bizmanenu? How is it possible? And I quote, Mikevan Shekayom Ein Reyas Beglal Chesor and Argosha, Shere Lefi Divrei Nesheis Manenu Ein Amagishas Klal, and he doesn't dismiss them as the Diorach HaShulchan, Yesh Lodun, he doesn't say a din, Yesh Lodun, we should discuss. Now clearly, this is not accepted by Klal Yisrael. Even Rabbi Yoshev himself, we'll see soon, didn't make a blanket statement that there's no kulos of ksamim bizmanenu. I have my theory that the only time it's considered derech riyah bizmanenu is what I call shef adam. And when there is a shef adam, we're not going to say, oh, you know what? She'll put on a pad or wear four different layers of colored undergarments and she'll say, oh, gevaldik, I'm not a nida because I know I go through my whole life never being a nida because I'll just have it absorbed by Eina Mekabel Tumah or by Big Day Tzivonim. That, in my mind, that's a ridiculous psak, untenable. And the reason is she's a nida d'oraisa because she saw the Shef Adam. She experiences the monthly period. That's considered Derech Riosa Bekach, and that would make a nida d'oraisa. Anything short of that, however, to me, might be permissible and subject to the leniencies of Ksamim. But again, I'm not finished with the precise definition of Derech Risa Bekav. We have to go back to this case of the Tinokas. Yes, sir.
Why again, I asked this question before, and I still don't, why during Zvan Chazal, even if there was a hargasha, the fact that she only saw tibas dam kachardel, shouldn't that be a raya of mura that it's not the derech liyasavaka, just like it is nowadays?
Right. Your question is a very good question. However, the two answers to the question. One is to say in Echanami that if you look in some of the Sidrei Taras and Beis Meir, imply that if she saw an Enibidika, she's not needed to arise. Deny it.
Even if it wasn't an Enibidika. So all the cases, the Isha Roa Tikas Dam Kafardal, sounds like she's Daraisa. Those are all not Daraisas? All the Gemaras?
Well, again, I can't answer this question for sure. I saw a discussion on an Enibidika, right? The Pashup Shat in the Gemara, when it says in white, Isha Sharos, a Tipa Stankachai, what does it mean? She saw it coming out of her body, or she saw it on an Ebedika? It's not clear. Mm-hmm. Probably means an Ebedika, I think. Mm-hmm. So that they say is the Rabbanan. If it fell out, it might also be the Rabbanan because it's too small. I don't know. I don't want to say for sure. I'm not sure. But the reason, presumably, that those who say the Raisa say the Raisa is because in those days, I'm suggesting there were two kinds of hargosha. So we said before, then the Rambam.
But once that's true, now the bunch are going to say, well, there are all sorts of ways to have derech ria. One is the shefa, and one is hargosha without. So if there are a lot of different derech ria, so maybe the same thing is true nowadays also. There's
maybe yeah, you are certainly maybe correct. I can't say for sure you're wrong. I think that if I'm not mistaken, Rav Shechter Shlita held like you. But in my view, if there is no akitza or psicha or ziazua that the aid bedika can be confused with, so I don't see why it should be a din d'oraisa. I'm just giving you my opinion, but I understand that.
So naniach that aid won't be, but let's say staining. So there also, that's another type of derech ria. Just like there was a different type of derech ria b'yimei chazal of tipas dam kechardel on a bedika. So too. There's more. We can't say that shefa is the only derech ria anymore because there are multiple derech ria.
Well, that's the question because it's clear in even bizman haChazal, as it's quoted in Shulchan Aruch, a woman had stains, mm-hmm. and they were on big day tzivonim, and were mekel and shiva nekiyim. So why shouldn't that be considered also a hargosha? So the answer is no. The hargosha is the typical hargosha that women had, which was the monthly hargosha. That was the hargosha. And the drop before and a drop after was not considered to be in that category.
But maybe that was because Manehem, like Rabbi Yashu said, there was a riot that it wasn't derech ria because of the lack of hargosha. But then that wouldn't be.
So I'm going to say the same thing today. It's a riot, lack of hargosha, because it's not the shef adam. I'm going to say exactly the same thing with my piece. Bidiyuk. Yes?
Why is Rabbi assuming that shef adam is enough? I mean, if it's a normal monthly period, maybe you should need the other things that normally accompany.
That's a good question, because I'm going with the Mechaba. The Mechaba said that the critical criterion is at the moment of the Yetzias Adam. Not what came before. Presumably not what came after. At that moment. So there is something at that moment. That's called Shef Adam. That blood comes out when a woman starts her period on a heavy day. It comes out in a Ribui Dam. A lot of blood. That is considered to me, by me, I would consider that to be the derech we also bekach. I can't prove that I'm right. I'm just suggesting it.
If it normally comes out over a certain period of time, let's say it gets a little more, and then you get a little less, and then one time it comes out of shef adam all at once. Mm-hmm. So would that be considered the normal?
I don't want to go into gory graphic detail, but I think that most women, they will tell you. I mean, if you go into the drugstore, you'll see that they sell different kinds of pads for light days and heavy days. Because you don't have to be that's G-rated, these heavy days, those are the days of the Shef Adam, and that's exactly what's considered those days. What she sees is considered derech riyosa bekach, whether it comes out this way or that way. I don't think it makes a difference. Yes.
But just to clarify, really not saying that it's stopping time for period, but it's hormonal.
Normally, most cases, the time when she's going to experience these heavy days is when her hormones will dictate what we call the once a month. Come later to some tinkering that goes on nowadays. But the normal situation of once a month, approximately when she has this period. There could be cases where she's way off, and for some external cause, she'll jump up and down, and it'll cause a tremendous amount of down to come out, which may have otherwise come out a week later, and this is known to happen. Or other experiences, pressure, and nervousness. Think, well, that's the cases, you know, about the schalchal amalka. I'd rather quote that part of the Megillah than the Aruch Shulchan's part. But these things are known to these. What I'm saying is what the doctors agree with, not this hargosha. Yes, sir.
Sorry, yeah. To go back to Yaakov's question. So if a woman, not trying to be too gory, but if a woman, her derech was not to start with the flow, but to start with staining, so but wouldn't that be derech ri'ah?
That's a very good question. It's a very good question. The post can talk about that. What happens if a woman starts with staining? So I have a sefer here. Again, it was given to me as a Xerox. There's a sefer called the Nitei Gavriel, and it's in Perek Sam of Zion Siftes. Mikaven shibiz manenu al pirov ein lahem hargoshes. Lachain im ros al kamak samim bizman shetzorach aveses lavo. O shalabegan mole lechus dam. The koshin shok for mageshes simonen kmo samach with bias aveses. So, you know, the headaches, backaches, etc. Yesh the tamo. Because ein aheta shal beget savua bedavar shenim akabo tuma. He says exactly what you suggested. This means that a woman, according to his Nitei Gavriel, is going to end up being asura lebayla. Asura lebayla, you can't even touch her, for many cases, a couple of days before the period comes. I don't accept this. I think she is not a nida at that time. I accept the chumrah, which is found in other svarim. I said it on my own before I saw this svarim, but I found it. It's found in the Sefer Shiurei Shevet HaLevi, where Rav Vosner, and it's found in the Taras HaBayis, who quotes him and agrees with him. That a woman who has these signs, whatever they may be, of stains, which are precursors of a period that's about to come, in my view, that is the equivalent, halakhically, of a Yom HaVest. The Yom HaVest is a predictor, right? It seems to me that this common sense predictor is at least as chamur as the calendaric predictions that occupy Blet the Gemara at the end of the Masech. So in my view, during those 2 days, when she tells her husband, you know, I saw a couple of stains on my undergarments, in my view, Tashmish is also, within the Yom HaVeses, but she's not in either.
Why not? Isn't that there for Yasa?
So I'm explaining to you. You're saying what the Nitei Gavriel is saying.
Right.
And I'm saying no, because I'll tell you why. Because those kind of drops or stains, that amount of dam, that phenomenon, that amount exited her body, next week, exactly a week from now, it's going to be exactly the same thing. And it's going to come out on her undergarments. And when it counts at the Shiva Nikim, as long as it's less than the size of a kegris, or she sees it in the bowl, or she's assuming it's a makabal tumor. How can we do that? Ganz Claudius Roll doesn't. So you're asking a good question. So I have an answer. And you may not have an answer. I have an answer. My answer is, it's not a Shef Adam, and therefore it's not considered Derech Riyasa Bekach. The same as that's true a week after a period in the middle of the Shiva Nikim, so too it's true in the week before a period as it's leading up to it. Because the Hargosha, Derech Hargosha Sobekach, is the Shef Adam which comes when she requires, you know, the heavy pads, and that's it. Not before, not after.
How do we have the right to pick that Derech Riyah? Because this is equally Derech Riyah, isn't it? Now, you have the ones afterwards. Maybe.
But you can't, how can you distinguish if you're only judging in terms of the what's coming out of a body at that time? You're not discussing stomach aches and back aches, but what kind of, which is what the Shulchan Aruch says. It seems to me it's very hard to distinguish between what came after and what came before. I find it very difficult.
Okay.
I'll concede that the Nitei Gavriel agrees with you. I haven't read a sefer about Shiva Nikim. Maybe he's not with it too. I don't think so. But if he doesn't, then you have an ally in Nitei Gavriel. Fine. I'm not opposed. I'm not opposed to your ally. I just don't necessarily agree.
How do we pick that Shefa as the criteria of
Derech Riyah,
not this?
Because that, again, we're just repeating ourselves, that that is considered to be the hallmark of the woman's, what we'll call it, monthly period. That it is the, when the Shefa Dam comes out, and whatever comes before or after is either a precursor or a carryover, but that's not the actual Riyah's Dam of the Hargosha that's described in the Shulchan Aruch, which now means Derech Riyasa B'Kah. We're just repeating ourselves. Doesn't pay to repeat anymore. Yes?
Can you say this expression also because every woman is going to have this Riyas Dam to Shefa, but not every woman is going to have some beforehand?
Oh, but that's a little bit dangerous. Because we have a precedent from the Gemara and the Rambam that a little baby, a one-day-old baby, we're going to have to count her little drop as derech riyasa b'kach. So you may argue that if a woman typically has these ksamim before, that maybe we have to take it into account. As a matter of Moshe has a tshuva about this woman who has ksamim before, and he says that those ksamim before will count for the calculations of Vestas, which I don't accept either, for that matter. But he never says she's an Eder. Doesn't say she's an Eder. It's counting for the Vestas. That's what he says. You look it up in the tshuva. So, my view is, like you, double or nothing. But I say nothing, you say double. So, I say the same way as I wouldn't count those for Vestas until the Shefa Adam, at the post can already say, except against Rav Moshe. I also wouldn't count it for the Derech Riyasa Bekach. That's my Shita. Yes, sir.
Would we say this Mahalach Lekul also, in other words, that the Argasha, Psilas Piyamakar, is Batel Bezmanazek, this is for gynecological examinations and so on?
That's a good question. That's a different issue. It's not saying the same thing. There's one issue is Hagoshes Piyamakar, and there's another issue called Eef Shel Psichas Akeva Belodam. That's a different concept. It's not the same thing. So let's not go there. It's a good question, but I have to tell you that in this issue, I started researching it. I mean, this is most of what I said until now is Dvar Matikin by me, but last year the following shaila came up. Halacha l'maisa shaila. There's a new device called a mirena. I'm not sure if you people even know what that is.
English
Hebrew.
Is that mirena in English or in Hebrew?
Both. Okay. Some call it Mirena, but it exists both in Eretz Yisrael and America. And what it is it's a kind of a device, like an IUD, which has hormones. And the goal, the ultimate goal of this is to somehow eliminate the period completely. And we're trying to, you know, the Vilna Gaon is quoted as saying that when we come close to the time of Mashiach, some of the klolos that we have from Adam and Chava are going to be lifted. And one of the klolos is Damnida. Maybe we're trying to lift the klolos a little bit. And, okay. What happens, though, is, at least in the first half a year, typically, when this Miran is inserted, there is what they call in Machon Puai, when I called them about the Shaila, they call it a tipa chodshit. Look at the new phrase. Tipa chodshit. She sees a drop of blood every month, you know, she used to see a period once a month. Now this Mirena is pretty effective, and it reduces it to a drop. What's the deal? So let's take a step back. Women who are on birth control pills, this already now celebrated its 50th birthday, the birth control pills, they're around for a long time. Tens of millions of women are using it. And it's apparently an objective fact that typically women on the pill significantly reduce the output of blood that comes out in the monthly period. A reality. Should we say that these women are not needed d'oraisa? Because they used to have X amount of dam their whole life since they turned 13. And now they go on the pill at age 14. So they now reduce it in half. So we say, therefore, that's not considered to be a needed d'oraisa? Nobody says that. I haven't heard of anybody to say that. Because it's a period, just that it's less. Oh. So the question is going to be, what about this Mirena, where it reduces it all the way to just a drop? A drop. So when I called up to the Machon Pua to ask about this, they said that originally they thought it was a problem. But they asked, I think, if I'm not mistaken, Rav Mordechai Eliyahu Shalita was one of their main poskim. He said, how can you say that one of two drops, this tipachot shit, will be a problem? It's no problem. As long as she sees it, it's less than a gris, or if it's more than a gris on the colored garment, it does not constitute a problem. I don't accept this. And my raya fakert is the tipas dam of the one-day-old. I asked the doctor. He said, it's just a few drops of blood, the same, more or less the same ballpark as this tipachot shit. Now, one of the rabbanim wanted to reject the raya from a cotton, a katana bas hermeret. What do you mean there's no hargosha? She's too immature to tell us about the hargosha. If you take a one-day-old and go like this, she'll feel it. She'll start crying, but she just won't be able to tell you about it. So this one day old, she feels a drop. She just can't tell you about it. I don't accept that either, because one drop is not enough to feel, even if you're only one day old. We can't creep into her skin. But so then I found out that there were those, when I asked around various Rabbanim what to do about this, and it seems that Rabbi Yoshev had said something, and I thought I heard it just as a shmua b'yalma. Later I found it in print in a sefer by one of Rabbi Yoshev's main Talmidim called the Mishmeres HaTara. It's an excellent sefer on Hilchos Nida by Rabbi Karp from Kiryat Sefer, and he discusses what Rabbi Yoshev's opinion is on this matter. I had heard it orally when I was discussing this question. I wanted to know what Rabbi Yoshev said. I called up Rabbi Morgenstern, who was one of his main associates, and he told me almost word for word what it says over here in this sefer, which is remarkable. It's similar to what I said, but what Netanel has said before is co-opted here by what Rav Yoshev says. Namely, granted that things have changed. However, who's to say what's Derech Yosef Bekach nowadays? Said as follows. If a woman, Stam, because remember, in his tshuva printed, it said Yesh Lodun. He never said what the outcome of the Dion was. If a woman stomps, sees a drop of blood in the middle of nowhere, even though there are no longer any of the traditional hargoshas, she's still muteris. However, he says, what if this tipas dam is accompanied by some of the more common accompaniers of rias dam, such as zivas davalach, or perhaps even vesis aguf, which although they come earlier, sometimes also come at the moment that she sees the dam, she has stomach cramps and things of this nature. So Rav Yosef says that even though this is not the hargosha of the Zman HaTalmud, not the hargosha of the Rambam, perhaps, and not the hargosha of Tosis and the Shulchan Aruch and the Truma Sedeshin of Psichos Pi HaMokar, doesn't matter. It's now categorized as Derech Riyosa Bekach. Wow. On this basis, I was told that if the woman will have this Mirena, the Rav Yosef says it's Osir. Because for this woman, who for these months, years, as long as it takes, she's going to see one drop every month, for her, that's Derech Riyosa Bekach. So that's a local chumra, which I happen to agree with. Because I think for this woman, that is a Derech Riyosa Bekach. Like the Tinokas Bas Yomecha. But the more general chumra of Rabbi Yosef, I find to be something which is not accepted by other Mori Haroah at all. Because according to Rabbi Yosef, any woman who has cramps has no leniencies of ksamim. And if she has any zivas davalach, there's no leniency of ksamim. Because again, it came in through the back door. That's not the hargosha of the Shulchan Aruch, of Psichas Pi HaMokar, but since today things have changed, so he opts for that. This is what Netanel was saying a little bit along those lines. And I am still sticking to my guns and saying no. The only hargosha that I accept to be hargosha b'zmanenu is the hargosha of Re'iyas Shefa Dam. That's what I think. That's what I think. And I believe that most poskim in the world are like me, and they're still giving kulas of ksamim, even if there's zivas davalach, even if there's vesas aguf. So I think they have to hold like me. I don't see another real way out. I don't see. Yes.
I just have two questions.
Sure.
The ride from the Tinokas. Why can't we say that she? Rabbi said that a little drop. She can't feel a little drop. Why can't there be a mapper or one of the other gushes on both?
Possible. It's only possible.
Meaning.
It's possible. I can't.
I'm more asking that.
I don't think it's true, but it's possible.
I'm more asking that if there's such a din of it's clearly whether there's a din of her gusha. It's clearly whether there's a din of tibas gatam kachardo on a deraisa level. So then, just putting two and two together. Okay, so there is such a thing as. As our gusha on tibas dam.
Correct. So that's what we said before. Bisman ha Talmud. If a woman had a hargoshes psichas pi hamokar, you have to be machmer ad ein sof. The truma zesh is machmer no matter what. She saw nothing. It is whatever it is. So if she saw nothing, she's us. The kavachomish or tibas dam, she's us.
But
with that, I don't think we accept those chumas.
It just takes away the kasha on let's say. Meaning you have to accept this entire the entire Kedarka in order to argue on it. He can, meaning it's a right. Chiddush, this whole thing.
So I agree it's a Chiddush.
Oh, okay, fine.
I'm going to tell you what I think.
I have one more question. Just Tom asked this before, I want to make sure I understood, that the Azav Gedola, so that's the whole point is that it's Shalom Kedarka. So Rebbe answered that...
No. That's not what it says. It's below Esri Yasa. It's at the wrong time. But it's the same exact type of riyazdan. There's a Rashi Nun Gimel that some interpret to mean that you don't have to have a Hagosha in days of Shiva Nikiyim to this year without, or whether yeah, the last week's Hagosha counts. I'm not denying that. But Lemaisa, that we are making along Ksamim in Shiva Nikiyim, as it's in the Mefurash and Shulchan Aruch, so clearly we hold that there has to be a Hagosha in the Shiva Nikiyim as well. Yes? I don't want to be too absolute, because in printed works there is no evidence on what he actually said. I heard it from Rabbi Morgenstern's mouth. I'm telling you where I got it from. He said Rabbi Yosha would be machmir in the case of Morena. That's what he told me.
Why is Rabbi Mechazi?
Very simple. Because a typical woman, I know what her derech riyasa is. Every Rosh Chodesh, she has a period. So if she has a drop of blood, chaf ches b'chodesh, 2 days before, or a drop of blood on Zion b'chodesh, in the middle of a Shiva Nikiyim, I'm not going to be, what me worry? That's not a derech riyasa. But if a woman is on some kind of an adjustment, which is based upon hormones, and all she sees is one drop every Rosh Chodesh, that's her derech riyasa b'kach. That's my understanding.
The tipa alone, without any.
That's correct.
Okay. So,
but in my view, it's only if it is
normal.
No, I'm giving you a word. If it's cyclical. In other words, if it's coming, which is what usually happens in these cases, on the day of the month, which until that point she was receiving a whole period, Merena cuts out 99.7%, and a drop or two come out.
When does that start the first time?
Listen, every woman is different. But this is a common shaila. I got it many times. Many times. That's why I researched it. And again, I'm giving you my opinion on the matter. There are those disagree with me. Yes?
If, according to Rebbe, if a normal woman out of the Merena, she had, let's even say she had a Vesis Kavua every 30 days, so why, if she had a Kesem, could she be Mako?
She had a Vesis Kavua every 30 days of what? Regular, full period.
Full period.
Yeah, and now?
And now she has a Kesem.
When?
30th day, on her Vesis Kavua.
Right. No.
Well, why not?
The Merena woman, that's the end all and the be all. All she's going to see in that month is that one drop. That is her derech riyasa. This woman,
the first month.
That's complicated. I don't know. But once it establishes a pattern, that's what happens in reality. Then once she goes, puts this thing in her body, that's what happens. That's it. Just go online. You'll see that's what goes on. And therefore, for her, she can be needed a raisa. Whereas the woman who on a typical, this actually happens sometimes. You know when it happens? Baruch Hashem, when a woman becomes pregnant. When a woman becomes pregnant, it's very common that the day when she should have had her full period, but Baruch Hashem, she became pregnant. And the pregnancy, of course, is supposed to stop the bleeding completely. So the pregnancy worked 99%. And the drop of blood comes out. I've had this question many times. So I think that woman is mutter, in my view, because she is a woman who her derech riyasa b'kach is to have regular periods. Now she's entering into a new stage where she's not going to see anything for 9 months, and it's just a fluke. The first month it hasn't managed to be misalig at 100%. Contrast that with the woman who goes on the Merena, and we know that month after month after month, typically for many, many months, you want to say the number should be 3, a chazak, whatever number you have to pick, there are these kinds of tipot chotshiot. So to me, that's already in the first month. That's already the beginning of a pattern which has been established by millions of other women. I've also said much more to say, but I went a little bit too long. I apologize for going longer than I usually do. But thank you for listening. I want to wish everybody Gemar Chasima Tova, and we should be zochah to learn this Masechta properly.
Where did you get your son or the whole parish foundation?
Your son has a parish on this?
A Vos parish.
think I showed it to you. Oh, 8,000.
Yes. Can you give me a copy of that?
Okay, but I want to know where it is. I want to see where it is.
Where in Shiva Shevet Alevi?
Yeah, Shevet Alevi. Did he have the whole parish of Shevet Alevi?
Yeah, I know you told me that.
Have you written up your...
I'm reading from the Beis Yitzchak.
What?
I'm reading from the Beis Yitzchak.
Oh, he's reading.
From the Beis Yitzchak. I did a Beis Yitzchak. I never wanted to print it, but so I printed it.
What do you suppose? You know what occurred to me? I'll play this every time later.
Oh, before I forget. Before you came in, Motzoi Shabbos, the sukkah, in my house.
In the sukkah, please don't say.
In my sukkah.
No, that's
my house.
No,
that's not to say.
But it's only, you mean your Jewish...
My Jewish Haroi
for that week.
The one I'm saying to.
Okay.
Where are you going to be in Shabbos? You know where you're going to be Shabbos Chalamoyim?
Yeah, I'm going to be in Tinek.
I'm going to pick you up. I saw some other boys. Who are going to be in Tinek, Shabbos Chalamoyim, sukkah? Who will be in Tinek?
I had a crazy thing.
Yeah.
I have to go to the doctor's waiting for me.
Okay. Okay.
The